but I got a cool hat, and my homies agree I really look good in black, fool. If you come to visit, you'll be bored to tears. We haven't even paid the phone bill in 300 years. But we ain't really quaint, so please don't point and stare. We're just...
Hi, my name is Michael Rosario from Saugerties, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ralph Gartner of Volation, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to Quintron's Weather Warlock, a custom-built weather-controlled analog synthesizer that turns the changes in the weather into sounds. New Orleans-based artist Quintron installed one of his series of custom-built weather-controlled...
Coming to the barn at 5:15. Well, yeah, I'm tired, but the cows need to eat. Milk the cows. Fresh silage, fresh light brown feed, fresh formula M, fresh pellets what I feed. Milk the cows. All the cows love eating all they feed and waiting all night just for something good to eat. Milk the cows. Milking cows, I get paid every week. You can tell I've got money by the boots on my feet. Milk the cows. Blue gloves so you know a brother milking. Just about to start, gotta do some pre-dipping. Milk the cows, start stripping, gotta get it wide open. Cows won't start till I get the milk a-flowing. Milk the cows, small cows, tall cows, all cows, dairy cows. We gonna fill up the barn with even beef cows. All cows, milk cows, but my cows all done. Better get your unit off, who's ever done with it? My barn milk the cows, my barn milk the cows. My barn milk the cows, my barn milk the cows. My barn milk the cows, my barn milk the cows. My barn milk the cows, my barn milk the cows. Dip 'em, strip 'em. Milk 'em, dip 'em, dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em, dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em, dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em. Hot, hot, drop, drop, hot, drop. Man, that water's really hot. Yeah, that plug is gonna sip. Milk the cows. You see these cows in my barn, how they listen? Soon as I holler, you'll see that they don't kick. Milk the cows. Gutter kinda smelling funky, not skunky. Not after too long, you will get used to it. Milk the cows, milk, and I can do 40 an hour. From 6 o'clock to 7 is the time that works the best. Milk the cows, fresh cows, Springer heifers, twin calves, bull or a heifer, what's gonna come next? Milk the cows, milk a Holstein or a Jersey or some crosses, or I'll even milk an Angus. Yeah, hey, what the heck? Milk the cows, man, I gotta milk twice a day. No, it ain't that bad. Yo, I do it every day. No, we don't milk them out by hand. I just put the unit on and think that way is the best. My barn milk the cows, 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 my barn milk the cows. Dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em. Dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em. Dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em. Dip 'em, strip 'em, milk 'em, dip 'em.
Darling, before the heads go under. We take our last look at the kitchen.
Welcome. Welcome, my friends. You've tuned in to There There, an examination of performance and performance sounds from your host, Alana Medlock. No, I'm not Alana. Alana couldn't be here today. She's deeply submerged in some sort of esoteric, clandestine, floral biome experience. But she'll be back next month. Until then, I'm your surrogate host, Jeff, who usually hosts Snack Point Charlie. And we're going to do it a little different tonight. Alana often has a theme. Well, I'm not going to tell you what that theme is. No. I'm going to put you to work, dear listener. I'm going to ask you to tell me what that theme is, to identify it, to name it, to suggest it. And if you do, you can email me at snackpointcharlie@proton.me. That's C-H-A-R-L-I-E, snackpointcharlie@proton.me. And tell me what's what. And if you do, you'll get a prize. I swear. Scout's honor. So whatever happens in the next 47 minutes is partly up to you. So far we've heard a little of Brian Dewan milking the cows. And we've gone back to 1983. The merman I should turn out to be, courtesy Tropical, well, I can't really say their name. I'll say Tropical Funk Storm, and you can figure out what the other F word might have been. And after that, who knows? So, snackpointcharlie@proton.me. Email. Win a prize, make a suggestion, and see if you can figure out what the through line is. And if you make it to the end, here on WGXC 90.7 FM, maybe I'll even tell you what it is.
Now relax. going to ask you to grit your teeth tight. Just close your teeth tightly together. Do you see how that gives you the sense of anger? Let go. Let go completely. You can get a great many emotions just by tightening up your muscles. Now try something else. Shrug your shoulders real high towards your ears. Shrug them up. Shrug them up. You see how your whole body is filled with fear? And this is the essence of what we call psychosomatic medicine. You tighten up every organ in your body so it can't function. Now let go. Let go completely. I'm going to show you this thing in total. If you will stiffen up your entire body and raise yourself from the middle so that you are propping your body on your heels and the back of your head, it will give you the total sensation of what tension can do to you. Tighten up your whole body so that you're resting on your heels and the back of your head. You see what tension can do for you? In that condition, you couldn't think straight, you couldn't do anything. This is the damage that tension can do to your body. Now relax completely. Relax, and I'm going to teach you how to relax individual parts of your body so you will recognize tension wherever it is. This is the important part of learning how to relax, that you recognize tension at any time and be able to relax any part of your body at any time at a moment's notice. Now let's try again, going from the top of your head down to your feet. And I want you to tense up each part of your body in succession. Wrinkle your brow and wrinkle it very, very tight. Now relax completely. Relax completely. The only way you begin to recognize it is in the difference between tightening up and relaxing. Now get your feet tight, tight, tight. Get a sense of anger. And drop your jaw. Drop your jaw so your teeth are open. Your teeth are not together. Very good. Now take a deep chest breath. Deep chest breath. Push your chest way, way out. See how that gives you a sense of tension in all the organs in your chest. Let go completely. Let go completely. Now tighten your arms. Make a tight fist and tighten your arms completely. See how it gives you a sense of anger? Relax completely. Let your fingers hang limply from your wrist. Shake them a little so you're sure that your fingers hang limply. That's fine. Now tighten up your stomach. Push it way, way out. Way, way out. Way, way out. You know you couldn't possibly have normal function with that kind of tension. Let go. Let go completely. Now stiffen up your knees so that your whole leg, your heel and everything are very, very tight. In that condition, you are not in any mental frame of mind to do anything. Let go. Let go completely. Let go completely. Now try again. Stiffening your whole body and supporting yourself from your heels and the back of your head. And tense up every single part of your body. Tense, tense, tense. Relax. Complete. Complete. Now, if you are aware of any part of your body that is tense, relax. You should be completely unaware of any part of your body. You should practice these relaxing exercises by first tensing out and then relaxing, so there's not a muscle in your body that's tense. And now in this very, very relaxed state, I'm going to teach you how to relax mentally. Close your eyes and feel a sense of complete calm. You don't feel tense anywhere in your body because you've learned how not to feel tense. Fancy yourself in a very, very pleasant scene. Fancy yourself in a canoe on a lovely lake. The sky is calm the lovely white fleecy clouds overhead. You're lying in a canoe, very restful. The waves are lapping against the canoe. You hear them. The waves are lapping against the canoe. The boat is sailing, sailing, sailing. Now fancy yourself completely relaxed in this lovely canoe. Fancy yourself going out into the horizon, just drifting, drifting, drifting. You are very, very relaxed. The more relaxed than you've ever been in your life. Your whole body feels fine. You just let go, and you let yourself take advantage of this wonderful feeling. You are completely relaxed. And in this very relaxed condition, I want to teach you how to take deep breaths for further relaxation. I'm going to count to 10, and with each count, you will take a very, very deep breath. And with each count, you will go deeper and deeper into a lovely, relaxing state, a state of complete relaxation, which you have no anxieties, no worries, no tensions of any kind. One, take a deep, deep breath. Go deeper and deeper into relaxation. You feel better than you've ever felt before in your life. Your entire body is relaxed. Two, a deep, deep breath, much deeper than before. And as you exhale, go into a deeper and deeper relaxation. Three, deep, deep breath. More and more relaxed. Four, deep breath. More relaxed. Five, deeper and deeper. And more relaxed. Six, deeper and deeper. More and more relaxed than you've ever been in your life. You feel wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling. You have never felt this relaxed. In this state, you are capable of anything you wish. Seven, a deep, deep breath. More and more relaxed. Let yourself go. Let yourself go completely. Don't try to be aware of what's going on around you. Just let yourself go. That's all there is to relaxation. Let go. Let go completely. Don't try to be aware of anything. Just let go. That's the secret of deep relaxation. Let go completely. Seven, a deep, deep breath. Now let go. Really let go. Don't try to hang on in any way. Eight, thank you.
There is a disgusting abundance of stories with a happy ending. The time has come to reverse this trend. I'm going to tell you a tale too sad to be told. It happened long, long ago, or to be more precise, 2 years after the discovery of dirt. Come with me now, my friends. Come with me to far-off India. The hot Indian sun beats down on the road to the blue pagoda. In the temple, the people sing and strew white blossoms for Buddha, and the priests pray, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. The road is lonely and deserted. For this is Bala Gopala Day. The deep green grass has parted and formed a lane in the meadows along the road to the Blue Pagoda. And all the flowers are waiting for the centipede who lives over there in the fig tree. Third floor, front. The fig tree was the most exclusive neighborhood. But the old toad, who always lingered under the stone, despised the fig tree because he was rooted to the ground. And the centipede she hated because he was so slick and fast. And she couldn't even devour him, for he was very tough and had blood that was carbonated. Ah. Carbonated blood. And so she hated him. Hated him even more. Hated. Hated. Ah! You have no idea how she hated him. She craved to destroy him. And last night she had held private counsel with the spirits of her departed ancestor toads. And now, since sunrise, she had been sitting under the stone, quivering her hind foot, spitting on the deep green grass, waiting, waiting, waiting for the centipede. That's the way she was spitting, if you don't mind. All of a suddenly, something is glittering on the bark of the fig tree, is wriggling, slithering down, glistening like a string of black pearls, turning coquettishly, raising his head, playing about in the radiance of the sun. A centipede. The fig tree clapped his leaves in ecstasy. The deep green grass rustled with delight. The centipede bowed, and throwing a thousand passionate kisses to his audience, he darted over to the big stone, his dancing place, and glided about in such twists, such turns, such circles, such curves, that all closed their eyes, dazzled. From underneath the stone, the toad crawls forth, the filthy swine. Oh, marvelous,
Oh, oh, most magnificent centipede. I'm just a poor, wet, slimy, slippery thing, one of the downtrodden of the earth. I do not shine. I do not glitter. I have only four legs. Four legs, and you have 100. 100 legs. Oh, marvelous. Oh, most magnificent centipede. But in my heart, there is great wisdom. I know all the grasses, each by its name. I know the number of the stars in the night sky and the number of the leaves on the fig tree. Rooted to the ground one, and my knowledge has not its equal among the toads of all India. But alas, I can count only the still things, they that move not. Move not! Tell me, pray tell me, oh marvelous centipede, how can it be that always, always you know which of your feet must take the first step? Which the second one? Which the third one? Which must move fourth? Which fifth? Which sixth? Whether now your seventh foot ought to step forward, or the hundredth, what the 17th does meanwhile, and the 33rd, whether they pause or move on, what you should do with the 74th when you have reached the 28th? Should it be raised? The 49th be set down? And what of the 95th? Must it be bent? And the 68th be stretched? 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 Tell me, pray tell me, poor, wet, slimy, slippery thing that I am, wretched thing with only four legs, while you have 100 legs. Pray tell me, how can it be done? Oh, marvelous, oh, most magnificent centipede! And the flowers, and blossoms, and beetles, and birds, and the fig tree, and the wide, white sky, they all gazed at the centipede. And the centipede stood motionless, riveted to the spot. Not one of his muscles could he move. He had forgotten which of his legs he should raise first. And the more he pondered the matter, the less he remembered. The less he remembered. He was paralyzed. He was finished. The hot Indian sun beats down on the road to the blue pagoda. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme
Well, I have a sort of suggestion. And that is this. That before we decide either to save the planet or to destroy it, we pause for a moment of silence. I don't mean that kind of grim silence which one observes when somebody says, such and such a famous person has just died, and we'll observe a moment of silence in his honor. And everybody frowns and thinks very serious thoughts. That's not silence at all. I mean real silence, in which we stop thinking and experience reality as reality is. Because after all, if I talk all the time, I can't hear what anyone else has to say. And if I think all the time, and by that I mean specifically talking to yourself subvocally inside your skull, if I think all the time, I have nothing to think about except thoughts. And so I'm never in touch with the real world. Now, what is the real world? Some people have the theory that the real world is material or physical. They say it's made of kind of a stuff. Other people have the theory that the real world is spiritual or mental. But I want you to point out that both those theories of the world are concepts. They are constructions of words. And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is... Find, therefore, that if you get with reality, all sorts of illusions disappear. And I will mention several illusions that have not this kind of existence. Let's begin with some very down-to-earth ones, like money. Money is a very useful method of accounting. It is a measure of wealth in the same way as inches are measures of length and grams measures of weight. You cannot eat money. You could have a fantastic quantity of dollar bills and stock certificates on a desert island. They would be useless to you. What you would need would be food and animals and companions. Money simply represents wealth in rather the same way that the menu represents the dinner. Only we are psychologically perverted in such a way that some of us would rather have money than real wealth. But you know, you cannot drive in 5 cars at once, even though they be Cadillacs. You cannot live simultaneously in 6 houses, or eat 12 roasts of beef at one meal. There is a limit to what one can consume. So that's one of the sort of confusions I'm talking about. I once talked to a woman who came to me and said she was afraid of death. And we went into it in a long conversation. I said, "What are you really afraid of?" And she thought it over and thought it over, and he said, "Do you know, what I'm going to be afraid of is what other people are going to say. They're going to say, poor old Gert, she couldn't last it through." Because you see... Who you think you are is entirely dependent on who people have told you you are. You're not that. Then another thing that bothers us is time. Most people nowadays say, I have no time. Of course you don't. Because you're not aware of the present. You know, the present is represented on your watch by a hairline that is as thin as possible as is consistent with visibility. And so everybody thinks the present is instead of. Now, the present is the only real time. There is no past, and there isn't a future. And there never will be. We think ordinarily of the present as an infinitesimal point at which the future changes into the past. And we also do a terrible thing. We imagine ourselves to be results of the past. And we're always passing the buck over our shoulders, like when God approached Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, Hast thou eaten of the fruit of the tree whereof I told thee thou shouldst not eat? And Adam said, This woman thou gavest me, she tempted me, and I did eat. And God looked at Eve and said, Hast thou eaten of the fruit of the tree whereof I told thee thou shouldst not eat? And she said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And God, out of the corner of his eye, looked at the serpent. The serpent said nothing. So you see, we're always passing the buck. And don't realize that the past is caused by the present, as the wake of a ship flows back from the prow. Now, the wake doesn't drive the ship any more than the tail wags the dog. But we've all got excuses. Well, my mother had a fit while she was carrying me in the womb. They didn't bring me up right. And then they go to the mother and say, How is it that you could have been so irresponsible with your children? And she says, Well, it was my parents who didn't bring me up right either. And so everybody passes the buck. But the truth of the matter is, it all begins here. This is where the creation begins. And you're doing it and won't admit it. Because, of course, you're all God in disguise. Jesus found that out, and they crucified him for saying so. Because the Jewish people had a sense of God as the cosmic king, the boss. It was modeled on Pharaoh, on Cyrus of Persia. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was Cyrus's title. Kyrie eleison means Cyrus, have mercy on us. But you don't have to think of God in that image. When modern Protestant theologians of the sort of liberal type are saying God is dead, they mean not that literally, they mean a certain image of God is dead. Outworn. Because it was, after all, an idol. And when it says, Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, it doesn't mean merely images of wood and stone, which nobody took seriously anyway. It means, above all, images made of imagination. Images made of concepts. That one had feet of clay. But it doesn't mean that God is dead, that life is nothing more than a trip from the maternity ward to the crematorium. It's much more spooky than that. Much more wonderful. But you see, you can't conceive reality. we could say God is reality. But if I call this the sound of a gong, it isn't the same as this. You see? The sound of a gong is a different sound from that sound. The sound of a gong, the sound of a gong, the sound of a gong, the sound of a gong is not... So then, there is practiced throughout the world, rather more in Asia than here, although always by a minority of people, a discipline called meditation, which is to get in touch with reality. The word meditation in English doesn't have quite the same meaning, because when we talk of someone meditating, we think of deeply pondering about something. When the Orientals are asked, what do you meditate on? They look slightly puzzled. We don't meditate on anything. We just meditate. In Sanskrit, it is called jhana. In Chinese, it is called chan. In Japanese, it is called zen. And it means, very simply, to stop thinking, temporarily. Not again that thinking is something bad, but if you don't, if you have to stop thinking at certain times. Once you get the knack of that, you can do it even while you're thinking. So you can be a scholar and practice meditation. This is not an anti-intellectual point of view. I imagine that most of you here are either in college or college educated. And the foundation of the intellectual life. Good scholarship requires that you meditate. But in saying that, I have got myself into a linguistic trap. Because, you see, I seem to be pitching it to you as if it was something good for you. As if it would give you a better future. As if it would improve you. Now, so long as such motivations and considerations exist, you're not meditating. We talk sometimes about the practice of meditation as if it were like practicing the piano, preparing for a concert. It's much more like the practice of medicine, as when you say, well, I practice medicine. It means you do it every day, it's your way of life. So you would, this is a very odd thing for Westerners to understand, and particularly for Americans. Because we are so fixated on the future. When we say we want to put something down, we say it has no future. Well, do you? Much better to have a present. Because if you don't, it's useless to make plans. Because when they work out, you won't be there to enjoy them. You'll be thinking of something else. So this is one activity which is curiously different from all others. It has no purpose. It's rather like music or dancing in that respect. Why do you listen to music? Supposing there would be a culture with no music, would you consider that a high culture? But why do you do it? Well, some people say, well, we go to the concert to improve our minds. Well, if you do it that, you're not listening. As you see, music is peculiar in that it is a marvelous pattern of sounds that doesn't mean anything. There is some inferior music that means something. What we call program music, like the Tchaikovsky 1812 Overture, or some of Debussy's perpetration, such as the englutted cathedral. Well, it's creating visual pictures or imitating natural noises, the beat of horses' hooves or rollings of military drums and the sound of the waves, etc. Just imitation. Now, great music, as composed by Bach or Mozart or the Hindu music or some of the great contemporary composers, doesn't mean anything except itself. It isn't going anywhere. Otherwise, the fastest orchestras would be considered the best. So we, in music, become centered. We come into the present. Not a hairline present, mind you. It's an expanded present, because if you had a hairline present, you wouldn't be able to hear one note after another. You wouldn't know what note you'd heard before. So you couldn't hear melody. But in this, you are released into reality. That's why it is said that the angels in heaven have harps, and why they circle the throne of God and sing Alleluia, 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 which, although does mean hail to the Lord, doesn't really mean anything. When you really get swinging with an Alleluia, it's just Alleluia. You don't think of the meaning of it, you see, because you can't think of the meaning of God. What does God mean? What is God useful for? So in the same way you can ask, what does a tree mean? What does a cloud mean? What does a fern mean? What's it all about? Well, we've got on all kinds of weird theories that ferns exist in a certain way in order to propagate themselves. Like birds do all this thing in order to lay eggs so more birds come out. And the whole point of that is that there shall be more birds still. It is a purely engineering approach to life. Which is completely senseless. Things don't mean anything. Birds don't mean anything. Trees don't mean anything. Words mean something, yes. Because they point to something beyond themselves. They're signs. But if you take words too seriously, you're like a person who climbs a signpost instead of going where it points. And so if you suddenly say, but my life has no meaning, you're identifying yourself with a word. That's what we do. If I would identify myself with Alan Watts, that would be identifying myself with a concept, with words. A rather complicated mess of words, to be sure. But still, I would have made that mistake. So then, it has to be understood about meditation that it's not an exercise, it's not a gymnastic. It's not the ordinary sort of self-improvement procedure. And one does it not to be good for you, but just because you dig it. Because at last you find yourself in the center, the eternal now, in which past and future drop away. Which divisions created by words drop away. Can you point to the division between my five fingers? Can you, in other words, touch the difference between them? Can't be done. Because the difference is conceptual. True. They can all move independently. But only because they're one with the body. And the The body is one with its environment. You cannot separate those. It's like bees and flowers. Where there are no flowers, there are no bees. Where there are no bees, there are no flowers. They look very different, but they are essentially one organism. The head and the feet look very different, but they are parts of one organism. Not really parts. Parts is a mechanical word. It's like got any spare parts. The organism doesn't have parts, it has features. Now, there's not very much point in merely talking about this. You can understand it only by doing it.
Yes.